Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here together. Let me invite you this morning to go ahead and, if you don't mind, standing again and turning to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, "You made it here, and I'm glad you did." Let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You are free, released to go to Children's Church, Junior Church. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, Ruth. For the rest of us, we are today heading back to 1 John. Back to our journey traveling through 1 John, and that means page 862 if you're grabbing a pew Bible. That means the words will be on the screen behind me as well. Today we pick up where we last left off, and so chapter 2 and verse 3, and we're going to be reading all the way through verse 17. So quite a bit for us to take hold of today. Keeping in mind again, this is a letter, right, that is less about what to believe and more about how to live. Less about arriving at a destination and more about forming us, shaping us along the way. And so with that, let's read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll come back and work our way through. Sound good? Sound good?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, we read, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Dear friends, verse 7, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." Verse 9, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Let's pray. God, we do thank you for this morning, for gathering us together. Thank you for inviting us into your presence, a presence that is, as Phil mentioned, is always with us, and yet, Lord, we are not always aware. And so, Lord, we ask that you would quiet our distractions, that you would steady our hearts, that you would open our minds, draw us, mold us, shape us. We thank you for your word now that meets us right where we are and even yet calls us a little bit deeper. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the poet and playwright T.S. Eliot. With the drawing of this love and the voice of this calling, we shall not cease from exploration. And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, when the tongues of flames are enfolded, and the crowned knot of fire, and the fire and the rose are one. That is John's invitation to us. Not exploration for its own sake, not theology as some sort of possession, but an abiding, ever-present connection. To use John's language, it is a knowing. Not knowing as information, not knowing as some kind of certainty. This isn't about having all the right answers. This is knowing as in gnosko, from the Greek. What is all about relationship. It's about belonging. It's about sharing. An abiding, ever-present connection. A connection that shows up. Genesis 4 and 1, Adam knew Eve. Shows up all through the prophets. Israel knew the Lord Yahweh. Shows up in John 4 and 10, the shepherd knows his sheep, right? And the fire and the rose are one. We know that we have come to know him, right? And so think again, entirely relational here. Belonging together, sharing life. And then it says, if we keep his commands. Which could sound a lot like rule keeping, like behavior management or some sort of compliance, like doing what you are told because I said so. And yet if we go a little deeper, if we dive just underneath that word in Greek, tereo, it carries this idea of to guard or to watch over. It carries this idea of to hold close, to treasure. Right? Poetically speaking, T.S. Eliot, we could say to keep the flame, to keep the fire alive. Which is why John goes on then, the next line, whoever says I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person, which at first blush sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? Sounds kind of harsh. But this is not John attacking. This is John protecting, we could say, the integrity of an abiding, ever-present connection. In other words, you cannot say, right, I gnosko, I know him, while ordering your life, arranging your life around something else. We cannot speak of belonging and live detached. Are you with me? We cannot speak of sharing and live indifferent. We cannot say, I know him, and live elsewhere. Right? Because this knowing him, right, again, totally, entirely relational, belonging together, sharing life, this knowing him, it calls us to be shaped by, to be drawn toward, to live in alignment with. And the fire and the rose are one. And next line, John writes this. He says, but if anyone obeys his word, again, this is the Greek here, tereo, for obeys. And so again, right, this is to guard, to watch over, to hold close, to treasure. But if anyone obeys his word, we could say if anyone lives that abiding, ever-present connection, love for God is truly made complete. Complete here speaks of fullness, speaks of living into the purpose for which it was created. Right? Again, the fire and the rose are one. This, John says, is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Which begs the question then, well, what did Jesus did, right? Well, John speaks to that. Dear friends, he writes, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Old because loving God has been from the very beginning. Old because from the very beginning it has been the central command. Right? Central to the Tanakh, the Torah, is the Shema. Right? Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ahava, Ahav, Ve'ahava, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. From the very beginning, central, it has always been loving God. And so, yes, old, and yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, right? In Jesus. Right? Love personified. Love embodied. And in you. And in you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And we can think back, it's 2 weeks ago now, the light. This is not light as a spotlight. Right? This is light as life. Anyone, verse 9, who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Point being, you cannot separate love for God made complete from love for others, from love for one another, right? Because poetically speaking here, right, love keeps the flame, keeps the fire alive, right? Love received and love given. And the fire and the rose are one. And then notice, interesting, John speaks what I think of as more than anything words of assurance. Right? He writes forgiven and strong. He writes of knowing and overcoming. What is not at all try harder. This is saying, remember who you are. Remember who you are. In other words, this call to live as Jesus did is a love for God made complete and finding its fullness in love for others, in love for one another. And because of that, John goes then on to say, do not love the world or anything in the world. And what I want us to make sure we get here, this does not mean reject creation. This does not mean withdraw from society. This, again, is about the ordering of your life, the arranging of your life and mine. This is about what are you arranging your life around? Because again, it comes back to, right? If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. It comes back to love, asking the question, what holds your affection? Right? What takes first place in your life? What shapes your desires? What guides your decisions? What directs your imagination? What promises life but cannot fulfill it? Because the world and its desires, he says, pass away. But whoever does the will of God, right? Whoever loves, relational, entirely relational, belonging together, sharing life, right, in alignment with God, an abiding, ever-present connection, lives forever. Love received, love given, and the fire and the rose are one. And so before the worship team comes up again, I want to invite us to sit for a few minutes in stillness together. Not to take a few moments and not to analyze, not to fix, but simply to notice. What am I arranging my life around? What am I arranging my life around? What has quietly captured my affection? Where maybe have my desires slowly drifted? Where might my love be divided? And then with that, where is God inviting me back into alignment? Where is God inviting me today, this week, back into alignment? What would it mean to recenter my heart? And then how might I live an abiding, ever-present connection? Again, today, this week, how might I live this abiding, ever-present connection with God, yes. Right? Love for God made complete and finding its fulfillment in love for one another. This, John says, is how we know. Love received, love given, and the fire and the rose are one.